We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest at any time, over time, erosion will occur. What is it that you have allowed to slip in your life?
Hello, Saints. Welcome to another hopeful message from Covenant Family Chapel. In these times of fear and anxiety, you need a word that will uplift us. We need to remember the words of 2 Timothy 1:7, which says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Fear does not come from God. To come into the knowledge and understanding of such biblical teachings for these times, let's listen to author and teacher Neil Archiampong with a message of hope.
All right, the book of Psalms 85 is our foundational text, Revive Us Again. And in that text, we find that God's word is so true. The psalmist is praying and says, "Would thou not revive us and bring us to life again, that your people may rejoice in you?" I know modern day people are interested in the rejoicing part, but God says that will not come until we have been what? Revived. So like a comatose patient, we ought to be revived. We have to pray, revive us what? Again. Like people who are running a marathon and have gotten to a place who are tired, we pray that revive us what? Again, like an athlete or maybe a celebrity whose career is going down, we are making a declaration. Father, revive us what? Again. If that marriage of yours is not working and things are not panning out, it is time to pray, revive us what? Revive us again simply means give us life. It has nothing to do with a bunch of services that makes you feel good. That's not what revival is about. Revival is about having a reconnection back to God and God breathing his fresh breath upon your life. Amen. In our last lesson, we understood that it is important that as believers, we don't treat the symptoms of our spiritual decline, but we actually get to the root. There is a spiritual decline everywhere, all across the nations of the world. When you find believers settling for things that before then they will not settle for, there is a decline. The things we used to call sin, and now we can rationalize it, we need a revival. There is a spiritual decline. And sometimes we are only trying to deal with the symptoms. We have to get to the root. And God says to get to the root, you have to pray, revive me again. Because when we reconnect with him, he will breathe his life into us, and we will come alive again. Amen. Today's lesson, our subject will be watch out for spiritual erosion. Watch out for what? If we are going to pray, God revive us again, we must pray that he will help us to pay attention and become vigilant about the erosion that is taking place everywhere. I pray this morning that you would understand the things we are about to study. There is spiritual erosion happening in our lives. It is happening in churches. It is happening in institutions of government. When people can say that the Bible is equal to the Quran, it's a lie. Something is wrong. I know somebody say, Pastor, please don't go there. I am going right there. There is a spiritual decline. This nation needs to get back to God. My nation of birth needs to get back to, you see, the fact that people run around, blah, 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 as if they are praying does not mean it's revival. Don't lie to yourself. It's religion. If you pray that much and you can still steal, you need a revival. Are you understanding where I'm going today? And there is an erosion. I call it a spiritual what? Erosion. A friend of mine visited Niagara Falls. And when he came back with his wife, he began to whip my appetite to go. So I decided to go online and look at it. You see, online experience of the place is not the place. You got it? But as I watched those videos, something that hit me that began this message was the erosion that has taken place over the years. Because they showed pictures of how the place looked like some years back and how it looks right now. That in the natural, there is an erosion that is taking place there at Niagara Falls. On the flip side, there is an erosion that is taking place in churches, in the life of people, in families, foundations, family values. Things that are important is gradually being eroded, and we are replacing them with words that make sense to us, but it's against God's will. Today, I bring to you this message: watch out for the spiritual erosion. Watch out for it, because there's a lot more that is taking place. In the context of this lesson, I want to look at the word erosion as simply a gradual destruction of something. Something is being destroyed, but it is not destroyed suddenly. It is gradual. And because it is gradual, it is very difficult to tell. I don't know about you, but I think some of you grew up in the city. I grew up in the countryside. And how many of you remember if you ever grew up in the countryside that the roads we had sometimes have gouges in it because the rain has caused an erosion? And most of the people that live within that neighborhood, they see it every day, but they don't react to it. Why? Because erosion is such that because it is gradual, you often don't pay attention to the damage it is doing. And there is a spiritual erosion that is doing damage to the church of God and to our Christian life and to families that we are not paying attention to. But today, I am here to remind you, if we're going to pray, revive me again, we need to start watching out for that erosion. Christians who could pray for hours today, pray for a few minutes, and they can rationalize it. No. We have gained so much wisdom, so we become smarter to get to God. No, you are not smart. God's standards is the same. What did the Bible say? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You cannot bend God's rules. He is the same. Oh, Pastor, don't you remember that we are from the Old Testament into the New? It is the old covenant that was restated anew. It wasn't changed. I pray that as we study this morning, you will fully understand God's word. Tell the person sitting next to you, watch out for the spiritual erosion. A nation can erode. Schools can erode. I remember going to school and early in the morning in the parade with all the others standing there, we will pray. Today you cannot. Something is eroding, but we are not paying attention. There are gouges that are coming into the proverbial roads, but we are not paying attention. I pray that we rise up and begin to see what is taking place because Satan is working it out. But I pray that the church of Jesus will begin to open their eyes and see that he is taking something away from us. And we ought to rise up and say, no more. It stops right here, right now. Amen and amen. Families can erode. Organizations can experience erosion. And churches can experience erosion. Churches that once stood for family values today will tell you it's okay for a man and a man to marry. Pastor, don't go there. I am right in the center of it. And I intend to meddle. When you see something that is black, do you see it's black? If you see something that is white, do you see it is white? Is every color gray? There is blue, and there is black. Then there is red, and there is green. Is that not so? When God created the world, he made mountains and there. In the name of tolerance, I do believe we must be tolerant. We have to. So please understand, I understand tolerance. But tolerance does not mean that we must allow erosion to take place. Notice the invention of terminologies to replace things. They sound nice, but they are destroying things. Sexual orientation. Your sexual orientation was determined by Yahweh. A governing body in Washington, D.C. does not get to change it. Are you hearing me today? Some parliament in some country in Africa does not have the authority to change it. There is an erosion that is occurring all across the nations of the world. If you research history, you would understand that the land we call Turkey today, back then, was called the Asia Minor. That is where Paul and others began the gospel. But it is 99% Islamic today. Church, wake up. And quit fighting with each other over things that are not necessary when the enemy is taking over. I pray that we will come to that place. Like my little village, we ran around, we saw the gouges, we saw what the erosion was doing to the roads, but it didn't mean much. I pray today that after the end of this message, it will mean much to you. This is why you should not look at people walking in sin and close your eyes, because something has been eroded. In the name of being friends. No, you tell them, you are my buddy. But that is wrong. Are you hearing me today? Because we have come to this understanding that friendship simply means I look at you and you keep doing the wrong thing. That is no friend. The book of Proverbs says that it is better to have the pain that comes from an enemy than the kiss from a friend. Why is he saying that? Because the friend is watching you to go to hell. I pray today that you would understand the journey we are about to go on. There is an erosion of truth, family values, biblical foundations, true biblical preaching. Today, pastors stand up and they have copied the notes of a philosopher. It makes sense. But is it helping your spiritual walk? Can we have party at church? We will do it once in a while, but this place is not for party. This place is where I can impact you with spiritual things. Because if you have party out and I have party in here, when will you get impacted? You see, because the enemy is making you think that pleasure is all that there is. No, pleasure is important, but it is not all that there is. Because one day, all of us will close our eyes, open it on the other side. If you don't close it here, rapture will show up. When you show up, God will ask you, what did you do whilst on earth? And we must come to that place where we stand up and say, Father, the erosion stops here right now. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Please stand there with me and I'll read from the Old King James. It says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest at any time, over time, erosion will occur. Newer versions of the Bible says, there will be a drifting away. What is it that you have allowed to slip in your life? I do not claim that we do it right all the time in this church. No, that would be just becoming pompous. We're humans, so we will make mistakes, but we will make sure that we will not allow erosion to occur. We ought to give a more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time He says over time, erosion will do what? It will occur. May God Almighty help us. But how many of you know that erosion in the church is not about the organization? Erosion in the church is erosion in your life, because we are there. So when erosion has taken place in your own life, then it exists in the church at large. So that is what is going to be my focus today. And I want to take an example of a church, the Church of Ephesus, how it was established, how truth was taught, how things were set in place, yet there was an erosion. And God has to come back and tell them, you have lost your first love. Because anytime there is an erosion of our first love for God, there is an erosion. Amen. Are you ready to go on that journey with me today? So that we can take our time and study. Before I do that, let me make one more statement, that erosion is silent and it is slow. So when it is taking place, it is very difficult to tell, because you end up getting used to this stuff. And after a while, think there is nothing wrong. I want to challenge someone here today, or somebody over the radio, or somebody who is listening to me through social media, that if you used to pray for quite a while, and now on the basis of some excuses you don't do it, something is being eroded. It's time to stop the erosion. Are you with me? Quit making the excuses, because before then you could still do it. It is slow. It is silent. So it's so difficult to see. You wake up, sleep and wake up, and sometimes you cannot tell the difference. But something is being what? Eroded. They came up with the terminology of the New Age. You remember the New Age movement? Then they started introducing terminology and words to replace the old ones, and said that is archaic. This is the modern term. My kids were showing me some of the modern terms. Salty. And I said, because their food is salty, he said that, no, that's not what it means. It's okay to become modern. But the Bible says, do not remove the ancient landmarks which thy forefathers have set. Why was the boundary set in the first place? That is the question you need to ask before you move it. We have become a generation that moves anything. Oh no, as long as it feels good, let's do it. No. If somebody tells you it feels good to start shooting people, should we do it? Be careful when you start using terminology. Bigger is better. That's not true. Because when it comes to your health, you realize bigger is not. The devil is gradually inducting us. They are introducing terminologies, and what it is doing is that it is bringing erosion and is eroding spiritual things. I pray that God Almighty will open our eyes. One day I'll go into my grave, but I would say to the Lord, I told them the truth. May God help us all. I say, may God help us all. Let's look at the Ephesian church, because the Ephesian church in Acts chapter 18, from verses 18 to 21, we find that Paul had come to Ephesus, right? He said, Paul stayed with the believers for many more days. Then he left and sailed for Syria with Priscilla and Aquila. At Cenchrea, Paul cut off his hair because he has made a promise to God. Then they went to Ephesus. That is the place. They went to Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. While Paul was there, he went into the synagogue and he talked with the people. Some other version says he argued with them, but actually he reasoned with them. He was trying to talk to them about the kingdom of God. Verse 20. When they asked him to stay with them longer, he refused. But as he left, he said, I will come back to you again if God wants me to. In one of his missionary journeys, Paul shows up in the city of Ephesus. It was a big metropolis. Go with me again, still in the book of Acts, because I wanted to trace this, how this church began, the things that happened in there, and how erosion gradually took place. And don't think that we are immune from it. Acts chapter 19, look at verse 1. Paul established the church. He established the church there. Let's look at what is going on. Verse 1. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul was visiting some places on his way to Ephesus. There he found some followers. Jump all the way up to verse 7. There were about 12 people in this group. So he's saying when the church began, there were 12 people there. Look at verse 8. What happens there? Paul went into the synagogue and spoke out boldly for 3 months. So for 3 months, he began to teach them. What did he teach? Did he teach prosperity? He talked with the people and persuaded them to accept the things he said about the kingdom of God. Why? Because the scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Paul did not bring a special program into town to begin the church. It was begun on the basis of this word and this word alone. And when he picked this word, he did not treat it as a menu. He spoke all that is in here. Let's read verse 9. But some of them became stubborn. It's always like that. It doesn't matter how you preach. There are people who won't listen to you. They refused to believe and said evil things about the way. The way means, the way of Jesus means Christians, Christianity. Before other people, so Paul left them and taking the followers with him, he went to the school of a man named Tyrannus. There Paul talked with him. Now, if I did what Paul did, I will be told I am impatient. Did Paul stay with the people who were not believing? You know, I do believe that we are getting so many things wrong because erosion has occurred. We need to stop it. I won't go nowhere. But I am saying that sometimes we should not tolerate nonsense. Are you hearing me today? Verse 10. For 2 years, Paul was talking to them. For 2 years, he was teaching that small group of people. Right? Because of his work, every Jew and Greek in Asia, that is Asia Minor, all right? Today we call that area Turkey, right? Heard the word of the Lord. So notice that this was a church that was built on the word. The church was built on there. They didn't have a special program with a prophet. It was Paul gathering a few and teaching them their word. Today you have, when you go to Bible school, they start teaching you the methods, marketing methods. But Pastor, the times have changed, but God is still the same. Let's continue to look at this church. Go with me to Acts chapter 19, the same place. Go all the way down to 13, because whenever a church begins, it will always experience spiritual warfare. Verse 13 says something very important. But some people also were traveling around and making evil spirits go out of people. They saw Paul doing some miracles. So there were other people who were also doing what? The same thing. They tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus to force the evil spirits out. They would say, by the same Jesus that Paul talks about, I order you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, notice, it was a leading priest. We're doing this. Who were doing this? You see, Paul is establishing a church. And there are people who are bringing that spiritual warfare was brought by the enemy, but he would always use people. Ask yourself whenever you act, is Satan using me? Because anybody, including myself, can be used. If you allow Satan, he will use you. Verse 15. But one time an evil said to them, I know Jesus. I know about Paul. But who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them because he was so much stronger than all of them. They ran away from the house naked and hurt. All the people in Ephesus, Jews and Greeks, learned about this and were filled with fear and gave great honor to the Lord Jesus. May God work through his servants in the churches. And no matter those who are within the remnant to speak truth, may they stand to declare that God Almighty is the only God. There is nothing like Allah. And there is nothing like whatever it is. Jesus is the way, period. Are you seeing the kind of church here? The kinds of things happening in the church? Wow. Verse 18, many of the believers began to confess openly and tell all the evil things they had done. Some of them who had used magic brought their magic books and burned them before everyone. Those books were worth about 50,000 silver coins. Some in a powerful way, the word of the Lord kept spreading and growing. Do you see how the books that were used for evil were so expensive? The Bible is so cheap that we don't even buy them. Erosion. Erosion. So this is a church that was vibrant. Things were happening. People were getting saved. The word of God was growing and it was spreading. Verse 23, Acts chapter 19. And anytime you see a church growing and the word of God spreading, these things do happen. And during that time, there was some serious trouble in Ephesus about the Christians, the way of Jesus. A man named Demetrius, may God Almighty expel every Demetrius from this place. But sometimes we need them, Demetrius, so you can stay focused. Sometimes you do. A man named Demetrius, who worked with silver, made little silver models that looked like the temple of the goddess Artemis or the temple of the goddess Diana. Those who did this work made so much money. Demetrius had a meeting with them and some others who did say the same kind of work. He told them, men, you know that we make a lot of money from our business. But look at what this man Paul is doing. Anytime truth is taught, you will attract the attention of the money makers. He has convinced, I'm reading verse 26, he has convinced and turned away many people in Ephesus and almost all of Asia. He says the gods made by human hands are not real. There is a danger that our business will lose its good name. But there is also another danger. People will begin to think that the temple of the great goddess Artemis is not important. In fact, if you read history and up to date, the temple of the goddess Diana stands as a historic place that lots and lots of people go there. Historically, it is believed that it can seat over 25,000 people at a time. Now, I need you to pay attention because when you read the scriptures, please don't skip over details because they are not in there for the sake of it. All right? There is a danger that our business will lose its good name. But there is also another danger. People will begin to think that the temple... So now they are moving from their business and they are tying their business to a much bigger issue that has to do with the entire metropolis. You see how Satan works? You are not only speaking to individuals, but you are touching an entire nation. Her greatness will be destroyed. And Artemis is the goddess that everyone in Asia and the whole world worships. Is that true? When the others heard this, they became very angry and shouted, Artemis, the goddess of Ephesus, is great. In fact, other versions will show you that they shouted it for 2 hours. 25,000 people shouting, the goddess Diana is great for 2 hours. Can you imagine the frenzy in the place? But the church stood. The whole city became confused. You can understand. The people grabbed Gaius and Aristarchus, who were from Macedonia, and were traveling with Paul, and ran to the theater. Paul wanted to go in and talk to the crowd, but the followers did not let him. Sometimes you have to listen to some people who are around you, because they can save your life.
Also, some of the leaders of Asia who were friends of Paul sent him a message begging him not to go into the theater. Some people were shouting one thing and some were shouting another. The meeting was completely confused. Most of them did not know why they had come together. Whenever you find yourself in the middle of a mob, please get out of it, because it is the order of God to call a committed person and not a committee.
Thank you for listening to another Kingdom Impacting message. Have you been looking for a place to call home? Need a place that makes you feel welcome and valued? At Covenant Family Chapel, our community is waiting for people just like you to find their way home. We invite you to visit during one of our Sunday services to discover how you can spread your wings in our friendly and reposeful worship environment. Visit Covenant Family Chapel this Sunday for our 10 o'clock service, located at 10307 Coppermine Road, Woodsboro, Maryland. To interact with pastor and teacher Neil Archie Ampong, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, all at Covenant One Family. Call 301-696-8555 and visit the church's website at covenantfamilychapel.org.